The question is that if the purpose of bhakti is to please Krishna, then how does our making our disposition receptive to Ladini Shakti, how does this please Krishna? We shouldn't think of Krishna's pleasure and our pleasure as being mutually contradictory. It is not that they are completely non-intersecting circles. It is not that we have to give up our pleasure entirely to give Krishna pleasure. Now, Krishna loves us. And do you think that Krishna wants us to be miserable for all of eternity just to give him pleasure? Obviously not. So, it is rather than thinking of giving up pleasure, we have to understand that there are what we call as pleasure, if you put in a circle, there are pro-devotional, there is non-devotional, there is anti-devotional. So, what we have to give up is the anti-devotional pleasures. For example, the regulative principle that we follow, that involves giving up the anti-devotional pleasures. That's one example of that. But there are pro-devotional pleasures. For example, if somebody can sing nicely. Now, suppose I'll give a more graphic example. Suppose somebody makes a joke in a class. Now, if instead of laughing after the joke, I start thinking, am I laughing for Krishna's pleasure or my pleasure? Directly paralysis by analysis. Don't bother so much, just laugh. Now it is within the purview of bhakti. If the discussion is about spiritual subject matter, and some spiritual subject matter is being illustrated through a humorous theme, there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's desirable. So, if the whole process of bhakti centers on recognizing that our pleasure and Krishna's pleasure in the truest sense are intersecting sets. Or rather, our pleasure is like a subcircle or a subset within the big superset of Krishna's pleasure. So whatever gives Krishna pleasure will also give us pleasure. Yatha taro ramul nisheshina truptyantil skandha bhujopashakaha. When the root of a tree is watered, the branches and the leaves are also watered. So, but at present, when we are not pure, we may not perceive it right. So it's in general, it is not that to practice bhakti means we have to deprive ourselves of all pleasure. Or it is not that we have to give up all the activities that give us pleasure. You know, I like singing very much. Therefore, I will never sing because I like it so much. What kind of twisted reasoning is that? No. So now it is possible that if I like singing so much, I may like to sing just for the sake of singing. And it may happen, like if I am not a sadhaka, then today I will be singing some bhajans, tomorrow I will be singing Bollywood songs. But if I am a sadhaka, yes, I may still have an inclination to sing Bollywood songs, but I will not sing them. So I will keep my singing within the scope of bhakti. Now within that also, initially I will be singing, yes, there is certainly a devotional element to it because I am singing about Krishna. But my focus will be on how nicely I am singing. And my focus will be on how many people appreciate me after my singing. So, if I am giving a class, I will think, how much are people impressed by my class? And I used to, in the early days, I started giving classes. One day I just gave a class and it's after the class, nobody came and appreciated the class. So, I started feeling so disappointed. And then it struck me that actually, I was happier when I was giving the class than after the class. Because when I was giving the class, I was absorbed in Krishna. But after the class, instead of being absorbed in Krishna, now I was expecting something apart from remembrance of Krishna. So over a period of time, as we start realizing that engagement in bhakti itself gives us more fulfillment than whatever result we may get by engaging in bhakti. Once we start realizing that, then it's not that we don't care for the result, but it's that we don't focus on the result primarily. We focus on doing the activity well. If people appreciate, yes, if devotees appreciate, we see that as Krishna encouraging us. But we don't do it just for that appreciation or encouragement. So gradually, our bhakti becomes more and more selfless. So it's a process that will happen gradually. So how does Krishna get happiness? When the Ladini Shakti enters our heart, Krishna as the Supreme Parent wants us to be happy. And just seeing us happy will make him happy. But there are different kinds of happiness also. You know, say a son may drink and think I am happy, but will that make the father happy? Not really, unless the father is also a drunkard. Then both of them are religious, thinking that we are happy. But otherwise, the father will want the son to be happy in a healthy way. Father wants to. Similarly, you know, we may think we are happy engaging in sensual activities, but Krishna knows that is just a superficial happiness which will end in misery. But so Krishna wants us to be happy in a healthy way. So when he sees us happy in bhakti, that itself makes him happy. Further, he is complete. At the same time, he wants, the nature of love is to expand. We'll discuss this more into next class. That then there is reciprocation of love that brings happiness to Krishna. So, although we may not right now be doing bhakti with great level of affection, but there is definitely some level of affection. And that level of affection also pleases Krishna. Just that we have entered into his circle of love and we are trying to serve him, even if with some impure motives or whatever, but still are trying to serve him, that pleases Krishna. And as we become purer and purer, he'll be more and more pleased. So, as our purity increases, the pleasure that Krishna gets through our service increases. But even now, the very fact that we are in his circle of devotion, that itself pleases him. So, the Ladini Shakti, when it enters into our heart, that means that actually we are entering into Krishna's circle of love. And the fact that we are coming closer to Krishna, that pleases him. Because we are reciprocating affection with him, that pleases him. So, the test for our bhakti, we shouldn't think that just because somebody thing gives me pleasure, so I'll stop doing it. Nor should we think that because something doesn't give me pleasure, I'll stop doing it. So, I will do my devotional activities as a discipline. But while doing them as a discipline, if there are some ways in which I can maximize the taste I get in them, there's nothing wrong with that. If I have to study Shastra, but if I find that I feel more inspired by studying Chaitanya Charitamrita than Bhagavatam, then does it mean that, oh, because I am not getting taste in Bhagavatam, so I study Bhagavatam and I will not study Chaitanya Charitamrita? No, we don't have to have that kind of logic. Now, whatever gives us taste, we do that. And we move towards closer to Krishna that way. So, different senior devotees, different Prabhupada, different gurus, they may sing in different tunes. Hare Krishna Mahamantra only. Now, why do they say, you know, somebody may argue, Prabhupada sang in Prabhupada, why can't everyone sing in Prabhupada? And we are all individuals. And individuals will express bhakti in an individual way. And that's perfectly alright. So there is, within the purview of devotion, like a big circle of devotion, all of us can find us, what is it that gives us the taste, gives us strength, gives us stability, and we can do that relatively more. And that way we can move onwards towards Krishna. And by that we will become purified. By that our bhakti will become stable, and it will become purified, and we will move closer to Krishna. And then as we become purer and go closer to Krishna, our bhakti will please him more and more. So we shouldn't worry too much right now whether our bhakti is pleasing to Krishna or not. What we should focus on is, how can I make my bhakti as steady as possible? If we just do steadily do bhakti, because right now how will we even know whether we are pleasing Krishna or not? Even if we may say that when Krishna is pleased, then I also get spiritual taste. So if I am getting taste, that means Krishna is pleased. But sometimes we don't get taste. Does that mean that Krishna is not pleased? We will get into a whole mental mode. It may not be that we may be not getting taste, not because Krishna is displeased. It may be simply because the modes are too much troubling us. So we don't have to get too much into a devotionally speculative zone of what is pleasing to Krishna and what is not pleasing to Krishna. We can focus primarily on what enables us to practice bhakti steadily. If we keep practicing bhakti steadily, we will become purer and automatically we will keep pleasing Krishna more and more. Okay? Thank you.